Amen. I need the one. I need thee. Yeah. Oh, oh, Lord, bless me now, my Savior. Hey, hey, I come to thee, I need. Anybody need it? The world. I need thee. Oh, oh, Lord, bless me now as a baby. I come. Who's coming? Come. Can you make it personal? I come. I come to thee. Come on, let's give God some praise. There's a word for us today in the book of Joshua, chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 5 through 8, and then skip down to verse 18, and then 20. And then I'm going to read the 23rd verse, which I did not tell the media I was going to read. Joshua chapter 11, verse 5 through 8, says, "All these kings joined forces and made camp together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them, because by this time tomorrow,'" I love it when God tells us when he's gonna do it, "'I will hand all of them slain over to Israel. You are to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots.' So Joshua and his whole army came against them suddenly at the waters of Merom and attacked them, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Israel. They defeated them and pursued them all the way to Crater Sidon, to Mizrehath Maim, and to the valley of Mizpah on the east, until no survivors were left." Verse 18 says, "Joshua waged war against them, against all these kings, for a long time." How long? A long time. Verse 20, "For it was the Lord himself who hardened their hearts." It was the Lord himself who hardened their hearts to wage war against Israel, so that he might destroy them totally. exterminating them without mercy, as the Lord had commanded Moses. And then at 7:30 this morning, it seemed good to me to add this 23rd verse to the reading. It says, so Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed Moses, and he gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their tribal divisions. Listen, then the land had rest from war. I want to talk to you about fighting faith. As you take your seats, would y'all repeat after me? Fighting faith. As disciples of Christ, we oftentimes find ourselves pulled in several directions. On one side, we are pulled by the promises and expectations of God. How many of y'all believe God has greater for you? How many of you all are trusting that your circumstance is not your destiny, that God has greater for us? And so we have that pull, and we like that pull. But as we are trying to enjoy that pull, there's also the pull of the enemy. It seems as if while God is blessing, the devil is over here messing. Seems as if there's always an attack or those who are preparing to attack. But I've come here to say to every vision supporter in this room that if we have fighting faith, God can handle our enemies. If we have enough faith in God to fight as an army, God can give us the victory. Is anybody interested in hearing the word of the Lord for today? God can give us some victory. Let me get to my thesis. We should work on having fighting faith. What is he talking about? We should work on having fighting faith. You can't appreciate fighting faith until I develop the first point, which is warfare. Somebody say warfare. Yeah, in the text, there is a literal war going on. If you read verses 1 through 5, we started at 5, but if you read verses 1 through 5, you'll see that a coalition of kings and their armies have gathered together to fight, kill, destroy the people of God. I came to tell you that there is a spiritual war going on. There's a spiritual war going on. It is not easy living by God's will, but it's more difficult because of the devil. It was uphill without the devil, but with the devil, it's uphill with a backpack on. Somebody talk to me here. It is not easy to be a positive person who takes care of your health, your finances, your relationships. That's not easy, but it's even harder when the devil puts his two cents in, when he sets his traps and his obstacles. It's not easy to stay focused, keeping the church focused on evangelism and edification, keeping the church focused on love and worship, keeping the church, especially middle class folk that don't live here, keeping us focused on community involvement and excellence. It's not easy, but it's even harder when you look at how the devil is always sending distractions into the system. And I wish that I could say it gets easier, but the truth of the matter is the more progress we make, it seems as if the more the devil showers attention on us. The people in chapter 11, we didn't hardly hear about these folk when we was back in chapter 10 and chapter 9 and chapter 8. It seemed as if every chapter has a new set of enemies. And I wish I could say that it gets easier. I wish I could say that the next chapter is going to be problem free, but a truer statement may be, even if it doesn't get easier, we get stronger. Somebody talk to me here. It doesn't get easier, we get stronger. It doesn't get easier, we just learn how to be more content in the Lord. Somebody can take the mic out of my hand and talk about how God gives you peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4:7. It is not that I don't have health challenges. I just have peace in spite of my health challenges. It's not that all of my bills are paid and my money is right. I just got peace in spite of my money being funny. It's not that I trust all of these smiling folk around me. I just learned how to trust God in spite of all of the valley of the shadows of death that I walk through. And then I must tell you that the real enemy is the devil and not the host. The real enemy is the devil and not the host. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12 talks about how we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the very wiles of the devil. This is a very important point. God and the devil can use people today and tomorrow. God and the devil can use people today and tomorrow. Lend me your thoughts. Trusted friends, people who you trust today, can betray you on tomorrow. And people who have done you dirty today can turn around and be the source of blessing in your life on tomorrow. It's not permanent friend or permanent enemy. It is understanding that the devil, not the host, is the problem. You remember Judas, the hand-picked treasurer of Jesus? Notice how he went from trusted treasurer to traitor. He went from good to bad. But it doesn't always work like that. Y'all remember Saul of Tarsus? He was a persecutor of the church. But by the end of the story, he became the preacher in the church. So Judas goes from good to bad. Saul goes from bad to good. What I'm trying to get you to see is you just don't know what people are going to do. And if you're not careful, you will go around and you'll make people your permanent enemies or your permanent friends, when in reality, it was never the people. It was always the devil. It's a spiritual warfare going on. And it can be a long war. It can be a long war. Verse 18 says that Joshua waged war against all these kings for a long time. Somebody know about a long time. Health challenges can last a long time. Diabetes, hypertension, cancer, even depression. Financial troubles can last a long time. $100,000 worth of student loan don't disappear overnight. Medical bills don't just disappear. The compounding interest of credit cards and payday loans, child support for young and old children. How many of y'all know it can last a long time? Relational troubles can last a long time. Sometimes the pain that we receive and the pain that we give is so painful that it's hard to release, it's hard to forgive. And how many of y'all know you can't put the relationship back together again until you learn how to forgive? But and I know we're Christians. I know we're Christians, and the Lord tell us to forgive 70 times 7, and how if we don't forgive others, the Lord won't forgive us. I read the Bible. I at least skimmed over it. I read the Cliff Notes about the Bible. I heard that. But when folk have abused you, when folk have lied to you and lied on you, when folk have stolen from you, when people have manipulated you and have caused all kinds of trouble and stress in your life, sometimes it can be so painful that it takes a long time to reconcile that relationship. I'm trying to talk about how war can be long term. And then if that's not enough, to leave you scratching your head. Verse 20 says that sometimes God hardens the heart of the enemy. Verse 20, I read it. For it was the Lord himself who hardened their hearts. Wow. Why is it so difficult to get along with people on the job, in the community, sometimes even in the grocery store? Why is it so hard to get your loved ones to do what's right? There might be a mother here today that's praying for her child to not just visit on Mother's Day, but to come and get saved and serious about the Lord on Mother's Day. Is it possible that the reason it's so hard to get along with the people in your life is because God has hardened their heart? Wow. I don't have time to go down this road, but act like you're writing these scriptures down. Act like you're writing these scriptures down. Exodus 14:17. And then Isaiah 63:17. And then finally Romans 9:18. You can buy the CD if you missed that. Here are three passages of scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, that talks about how God hardens the hearts of people. It's an interesting study. That's not the center of our preaching here. In our text today, we don't have to wonder why did God harden their hearts, because the text tells us, verse 20 says, that the Lord hardened their hearts so that he might destroy them totally. He wanted to exterminate these people. If their hearts had softened, they may have repented. If their hearts had softened, they may have at least ran from destruction. But because of the hardness of their heart, the Lord's desire to eliminate the heathen was satisfied. Perhaps if this was a class, we could spend more time there, but this is preaching material here. Here is the reason why God may harden people in your life and in mine. Sometimes he does it so that we can be spiritually stronger. Sometimes God hardens people's hearts in our life so we can be spiritually stronger. I need a minute or two here. As a disciple of Christ, I'm serious about my health. And a part of my health regimen is I voluntarily subject myself to resistance, endurance, and stretching routines. Because if you're going to be healthy, you need some strength, you need some endurance, and you need some range of motion. I suspect that sometime God hardens the hearts of people in our life so that we can be spiritually strong in him. Now, just to show you I'm not out here tripping on my own thoughts, listen to Psalms 119:71. Psalms 119:71, it said, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. Psalms 119:71, it was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees. There's some learning that you can't do when all is well. There's some learning that only comes as you matriculate in the university of adversity. You can't get this degree with loaves of bread under both arms. You gotta have some lean days in order to get this degree. You gotta suffer some betrayal to get this degree. There are some things you can't learn until you go through some stuff. Am I the only one standing here on May the 1st, 2016, stronger than I was last year? Wiser than I was last year, better than I was last year? And I never could have made it if it were not for some hard-hearted people. There are some folk I really need to send a thank you card. Thank you for being a pain in my toe, in my toe, in my toe. Thank you for being a pain in my toe, because you taught me how to pray at another level. There's some folk, I need to send them a gift card and send them out to dinner, because you taught me how to praise them in the storm and in the calm. I knew how to praise them when things were calm, but I've had some folk to teach me how to praise them when you can't see no light at the end of the tunnel.
Come on now, Pastor.
Am I the only one who's learned that God can use hard-hearted folk to make you better? Now the devil will allow those hard-hearted folk to make you bitter, but God want to use them to make you better. Don't let nobody steal your joy. Don't let nobody steal your praise. Don't let nobody take the smile out of your face. Baby, you were living before you got here, and you will live after here. You're bigger than this circumstance.
Come on now. Talk about it, Pastor. Talk about it.
Somebody had to be betrayed so you can learn that God really does stick closer than a brother. Somebody had to get sick to understand that God really is a doctor in a sick room. Somebody had to have some thorns in your flesh for a season to understand that grace is not just sufficient for a one-time event, but grace is sufficient for a whole season of your life. You ought to read that text. You ought to read that text. You ought to read that text. Paul said, listen, I'm bothered by this thorn in my flesh. And the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient. And he went back and said, the thorn is still here. And the Lord said, my grace is still sufficient. He said, but the thorn is still here. He said, but my grace is still sufficient. I'm here to tell you, you had to go through some thorn seasons to appreciate that grace is sufficient, not just for events, but for whole seasons. I know it's a long war. I know you thought this thing would be over by now, but God is still in it. I said, God is it still in it. God is still in it. I finally made it to fighting faith. I had to tell you about the war so you could appreciate what we're fighting about. The fighting faith is where I'm at now. It is true that God gave them the victory, and that's an easy shout. God gives us the victory. Praise the Lord. But before you start shouting, you need to see what happened before the victory. Y'all got a minute? I noticed that God talked to Joshua. Then I noticed that the army followed Joshua, and the army fought against the enemy. That sounds so elementary, don't it? Don't that sound elementary? But let's walk back through it again. God talked to Joshua. He didn't send a memo to the whole army. He talked to the one he sent to give leadership. Then the whole army followed Joshua. The army followed Joshua. It just wasn't a bunch of folk running around doing what they wanted to do. They fought as an army, as a unit. And they wasn't fighting one another. They was fighting the enemy. Choir wasn't fighting ushers. Usher wasn't fighting trustees. Everybody was fighting the enemy. Wow. And I came here to tell you, you and I need fighting faith. Well, what's that all about, Reverend? Well, it starts with being a discipled soldier. A discipled soldier. That's included in fighting faith. Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. Matthew 12, 30 says, whoever is not with me, Jesus is speaking, is against me. And whoever does not gather with me scatters. There's no neutral with the Lord. You're either for the Lord or you're against the Lord. Ain't no such thing, I ain't in it. You in it. Now what I'm trying to do is get you on the right side of it. You already in it. I'm trying to get you on the right side of it. And the way you get on the right side is make sure you are saved. This is different than make sure you go to church. There's a whole lot of folk that's going to go to church and then go to hell. You need to make sure you are saved. You need to know that you've asked and you're trusting God to save you because Jesus paid it all. And then as a saved person, you ought to study and obey God's word. This is discipleship stuff. You got to study and obey God's word. Now, how many of y'all know it's easier to study it than it is to obey it?
Yeah.
Some of y'all need to work on at least studying it. But when you study it, let me tell you, after you study, if you thought studying it was hard, obeying it is even harder than studying it. Because God does not call us to just be hearers of the word. He wants us to be doers of the word. The tree is not known by the sign on the tree. The tree is known by the fruit that it bears. That's why we push the growth group so hard, because we don't want you to just have information. We want you to have support to live by the study. Make sure you are a disciple soldier. Here's the second thing under this fighting faith material. We need to make sure we're fighting as an army. Somebody say fighting as an army. Mm-hmm. An army, not Rambos. Y'all know Rambo, Sylvester Stallone, running through the woods, cutting people, killing folk. Rambo killed a whole army all by himself. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. Y'all act like they didn't know what I was talking about. So listen. God didn't call us to be no Rambo. God is calling us to be an army. We're not running through the woods like we superstars. We're working as a team. This is very important because the devil is always pushing independence. Be your own man, be your own woman. Autonomy is the devil's key word. That's what's got Israel in trouble. Israel had God as their king, and they said, we don't want God as our king. We want a human king like everybody else's has a human king. The devil is always trying to get us independent. It's interesting that he got Eve before they were together as Adam and Eve. He's always dividing and trying to conquer us. The devil loved independence. But God wants interdependence. He wants us to learn how to work together. Let's see, did I just fall out of bed and hit my head? Where did this come from? I noticed that we're not just sheep, but we are a flock of God. In one pen, according to John chapter 10, verse 16, we're not just sheep running all over the place. We are God's flock in one pen. We're not just body parts. You're not just a hand over there minding your business, and I'm a foot over here minding my business, and you the heart back there minding your own business. No, we're all in one body. We're not just soldiers. We are an army. And you can't have army without being able to follow leadership. And the reason we follow leadership, it's not just because we're so in love with the leader, but we learn that we do better together. Come on, talk to me here. The reason we work as a unit is because we know we can do better together. Another good reason to follow leadership is because God rarely speaks to you about what he wants for the unit. It's interesting that God didn't say anything to the people under Joshua. The conversation is with Joshua. I've been on a number of planes, and the tower never talks to me. I've never had the tower say, Dr. Baines, you are approaching your destination. Let the landing gear down. The tower never talks to me. Do you know who the tower talks to? The tower talks to the pilot. The tower don't even talk to the stewardess. She does a great job bringing me my coffee, my tea, my Coke, the peanuts, And those little cookies, you know those little thin cookies that be on the airplane? She does a great job doing that. But the tower never talks to the stewardess. The tower talks to the pilot because the pilot has been sent to fly the plane. And if you can't follow leadership, you can find yourself running through the woods, cutting up stuff, and you going all in the wrong direction because you didn't hear the order to turn left. You're doing a marvelous job doing the wrong thing. You got to follow leadership. And in order to follow leadership, you got to learn how to trust God. Verse 6. You got to learn that no matter how afraid you may be of what you see, your trust and faith in God has to be stronger than your fear. You see, if it was just you or me against the devil, that's a losing match. You might as well just quit now and just see what can you talk the devil into, because he's going to win that battle. But it's never you or me against the devil. It's you, me, and most importantly, God. How many of y'all know when you're on God's side, you're always on the winning side? The army has to be faithful, has to be fearless, has to work as a unit. It has to strive for excellence. You ought to strive for excellence because the rest of the team is counting on you. Your job may not seem all that important to you, but it is important to the team. I served 4 years, almost embarrassed to say I was in the military. My uncle served in Vietnam, and I had uncles to serve in Korea. They actually saw combat. I'm almost embarrassed to say I was in the military. They was in the real military. I served in the commissary. It was the supply branch of the Air Force. And, you know, we wasn't thinking about fighting. They taught you how to shoot the M16, and, you know, you could do it, but the chances of me ever having to go to combat were slim to none. If you're not careful, you would think, well, that's not important. That's not an important part of the military. But listen, everybody who shot wanted to eat. And in order for them to eat, it had to come through supply. Supply had to order. Supply had to receive. Supply had to distribute. So supply had an important role to play. That you might think that what you do is not all that important, but baby, everything in the body is important. If you don't think your baby toe is important, let somebody step on your baby toe, the right toe or the left toe. It don't matter. If you don't think it's all that important, let somebody step on it. Excellence, the team is counting on you. And then God deserves our excellence. I mean, God has been so excellent with us. I don't know how you could ever offer him anything except excellence. Do I even need to argue that God is excellent? I mean, isn't his son excellent? Isn't his spirit excellent? Isn't his sovereign plan excellent? I want to use my last few minutes now saying that you and I must fight as an army so we can turn the sickness of SBC into health. This is the 1045 service. Are there any vision supporters in this service? I said, are there any vision supporters in this service? Not too long ago, we did a preaching series entitled A Praying Church. And one of the problems with preaching Sunday after Sunday, month after month, feeling the pressure to say something new, is folk forget what you just talked about 2 months ago. But let me remind you that A Praying Church was not a filler series. It wasn't something to just fill up the calendar. You gotta say something, so use it as a filler. No. A praying church is built upon the focus this year on prayer. I wasn't just telling Bible stories. I'm really trying to make sure can't nobody say Pastor never really pushed prayer. Prayer is important. I'm wondering, is anybody still praying? And is anybody still fighting to make our vision a reality? You have not forgotten the vision, have you? We're praying and we are fighting, trying to have 400 people in transformative worship. And you know, all of the words are important. The 400 is important. Worship is important. But I really want you to get your mind around transformative. Yeah, on any Sunday morning, people ought to be able to come to the worship experience. And it really does not matter how you were when you came, because we're always praying for the Lord to transform us. We're always praying for the Lord to change us. We're always praying for the Lord to improve us. So then think about 400 people in transformative worship. 400 people who come and dwell in the presence of the Lord. 400 people who come and hear and sing the sweet songs of Zion. 400 people who come to be prayed for and to pray. 400 people who come to hear the word of the Lord with ears to hear and obey. Can anybody testify that the word will work if you just hear and obey? If I did not believe that the word would work, it would be mighty hard to preach another sermon. But I declare, if you keep on blowing the trumpet, God has a way of softening the hardest heart. But that's not the end of our vision. We also pray and we also fight to have at least 250 people growing in our growth groups. We don't just want to have a shouting crowd on Sunday morning, but when Sunday is over, we want a critical mass that's growing in the Lord. It's embarrassing to be a part of the church 5, 10, and 15 years, and you can't name anything that you're doing better now than you were 15 years ago. You ought to be growing, and the church ought to be in the business of helping people grow. And then the final part of our vision is to be a greater asset in our community. Oh Lord, today our vision is to put our shoulder to the wheel and to put our money where our mouths are. Yeah, we don't want to be the church sitting on the corner with a bunch of drive-through folk on Sunday morning. We want to be the church that has our hand in all kinds of good work. Can I get a witness here? It's good to see the work on the Ponziana. That is the great big apartment complex here. But greater than the work being done is the part that we play in the work. Can I get a witness here? I thank God that I sit on the board that's working on not only the building, but the people that live in the building. I thank God that we worked hard to make sure that we don't spend all the money on brick and mortars. But we need some folk to get their GED. We need some folk to get their health together. We need some folk to be coached to do more with their lives. In just a few months, right across the street, we got plans to finally start building something. I thank God it took a little energetic language. There was some energetic conversations, but we finally shook hands on a grocery store coming back to Avondale. And I thank God, it was not just a bunch of business folk, but preachers got together. Can you believe that? Preachers got together and told business folk, it's time to push through all of that. And you'd be surprised how flimsy the deal was. But we finally worked it out. Isn't it good to be a part of something that does more than feel good on Sunday? Isn't it good to know that our members participate in every child succeed? Isn't it good to know that there are people that have a job because of the work and the money that we've sent to Urban Leagues, to City Gospels, to City Link? Oh, it's so much more to Jesus and the gospel than just feeling good on Sunday morning. Support the vision. We need a whole army to grab something. If you can't shoot, load the gun. If you can't load the gun, carry the ammunition. If you can't carry the ammunition, give water to the fighter. Do something to support the mission. And in case is not obvious, let me tell you, we need a multi-generational army. Yes, you can't have everybody in the same generation and think you can win a long war. No, that's short-sighted. You gotta have some gray-haired soldiers because they know the way. And then you need some black-haired soldiers because they have the energy. And then you need some up-and-coming soldiers because no matter how big and bad you are now, in a few birthdays, you're going to have to go and take your rest. But in a long walk, you need somebody in the wing, coming along, ready to take your place. Yes, thank God for Moses. But Moses needed a Joshua. Thank God for Joshua. But when Joshua died, there was a need for new leadership. Yes, I thank God. I preach a funeral on Tuesday at Macedonia in Dayton, and my successor, Dr. Hunter, yes, the Lord has blessed the church to not only pay off the mortgage, but got plans to build another addition. I was almost insulted when folk wanted to know how I felt about the addition. I felt great. I was excited. I was happy to have ran my lap. And I thank God that the team is still running. Yes, I heard somebody say that we don't give enough credit to former pastors. Well, let me tell you, as a former pastor who preach almost every year at three churches I used to pastor, one of the greatest things you can do is run forward. No God-sent pastor want the church to stay stuck in reverse. Yes, you ought to remember. That's why we have church anniversaries. But the rest of the year, you ought to be trying to put one foot in front of the other. You ought not get to church anniversary and spend all of your time talking about what we used to do 50 years ago. Every year, you ought to have some new accomplishments to celebrate. It ought to be one year on top of the other. Can I get a witness here? I thank God that the text says that Joshua fought the long battle as the Lord had told Moses. The last piece of my little sermon is found in verse 23. It was a long war, but verse 23 says, then the land had rest from war. Isn't God all right? I thank God. It might be long, but if we keep our hands in the master's hands, God will give us rest. God will give us peace. God will give us victory. I gotta serve communion, but can I read this last verse? Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Anybody here want hope and a future? Anybody here want God's prosperity? I thank God. If you have have a fighting faith. God has the victory. Isn't that good news? The hope is not in Joshua. The hope is not in the army. The hope is in the Lord. Anybody here know he's trustworthy? Anybody here know he still got power? Anybody here know that God will take care of his own? I really gotta quit, gotta preach at 4 o'clock, but God will take care of his own. I don't think you heard me. I said God will take care of his own. Isn't that good news? No matter what you're going through, God will take care of his own. I don't care what the doctor said. God will take care of his own. Isn't that good news? Let me hear you say yeah. Yes. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God will take care of his own. If it was just us against them, I see why you're afraid. But it's not just us against them. God, I said God,
yes, God
will take care,
yeah, yeah,
of his own.
Yes, he will.
We're not out here on our own. We're following orders.
Yes, God.
I said we're following orders.
Yes, God.
And if you just be faithful to your orders, God will,
yes, God,
take care of his own. And I know you can't see your way. I know you can't see your way. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It might be God hasn't made a way yet.
Yeah.
But when God makes a way,
yes, God.
I said when God,
yes, God,
makes a way,
yes, God,
then everything will be all right. The biggest problem facing us is not those who have joined forces to fight against us. That's not our biggest problem. The biggest problem is, do you have fighting faith? If you got enough faith in God to fight as an army, God can take the enemies in chapter 11 out, just like he took them out in 10, just like he took them out in chapter 9, just like he will take them out for the rest of the book of Joshua. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, would you come?
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust.
The door is open. If you know you need to come, would you come now?